Okay, so our Mishnah introduces three levels: Eretz Yisrael proper, Chut Laretz, and then Surya. And this gives the Gemara an opportunity to explore the status of Surya. So, when was Surya? Syria, when was it conquered in Jewish history? By who?
David HaMelech.
By David HaMelech. Thank you. Thank you. Not by Yoshua. That's why there's a question in the Gemara, because it was not Yoshua. Yoshua was the national conquest of the borders of Israel. Syria is slightly north of the borders that Yoshua conquered. It was conquered in the time of David, where he sent his general. Who's his general?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Let's start with a no.
The one he took the
word. Yoav ben Tsruya. The Syrian community claims that the shul, at least one of their shuls that they had, as I've been told, was built by Yoav ben Tsruya. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it is true that the Syrian community can trace their lineage back to Syria for several thousand years. The person in charge of like the Sephardi education, something in YU, he's like, him and his wife are both different Eidut HaMizrach. One was from Lebanon and one was from Egypt, I think. And like they both had Shtari Yuchsin. They could trace their lineage back 81, 82, 83 generations. That's back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech in Egypt, Lebanon, whatever.
That's pretty cool.
So, the Gemara says, commenting on this, so the Mishnah had said that in Syria, what's the halacha, according to Rabbi Meir, the Surya maskirin lehem batim, avalo sadot, you can rent houses, but not fields. V'chuzlar mochel lehem batim umaskirin sadot. Correct?
You could sell houses and rent fields.
So, the Gemara says, b'Surya maskirin batim, maishna mechira dilo, mishum mechira d'Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara's Hafa Amina is that Syria is?
It's sort of like...
Is or is not Eretz Yisrael?
Is not.
Okay.
Is not. The Hafa Amina is that it is not. Right? Because the Gemara says, what is the difference between selling? Because the Gemara says, Mishum de Mechira de Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the reason you can't sell is, what does it mean, because of Mechira de Eretz Yisrael?
To stop you from, yeah, you might come to do it in there.
Or in Hebrew, it's a gzera.
Yeah.
It's a gzera. It's a protective.
Well, it's
right,
a gzera on a. Well, it seems
on
like
a daraisa, on a vlosachane.
Right.
So the Gemara says, "Iachi mischiros nami nigzor." So the Gemara said that was the case. That not only should you forbid selling, you should forbid
renting.
So the Gemara says, "No, he gufa gzera." Selling land in Syria, if you assume that it is chutz laretz, is itself a gzera. Mm-hmm. Then to forbid renting, because you might come to sell in Syria, which would be a problem, because then you might come to sell in Eretz Israel.
That's a gzera.
Is a gzera le gzera.
Oh,
so the Gemara says,
nope.
He gufa gzera, ananekim gzera le gzera. Can we make a decree on a decree, or what in probably better English is called a second order decree?
In gooder English.
Yes.
It's always fun to say that.
Right? Decree to a decree, right? The better way of saying it is second order. Or second order decree, right? Meaning, right?
It's like there's a federal law and then there's a.
No, second order. No, second order, meaning that it is a decree on a decree which is protecting something else. It's two orders removed. No, it's two orders removed from the principle. That's the point.
Okay, I got it.
It's not like that.
I realize.
Now, if you guys want, we can get into this because I think many people misunderstand this. Many people understand this, that Chazal do not have the authority to make second order gzerot. I don't think that's correct. I think there's much evidence to argue that it's not that they don't have the authority, but that they don't want to. And therefore, sometimes they do. Often they do, in fact. If you want, we can get into that. If not, I can give you a link to a share in YU Torah where I made this point.
That they often make a gzera on gzera.
Well, we know that they do, but also that on it, that in goes in gzera, gzera is not actually a limit in their authority. It's a limit of what they like to do. So the Gemara says, "V'haschira sada de b'Syria de gzera le gzera." The Gemara says, "But wait a second, renting a field in Syria is itself a gzera le gzera." Because gazrinan. Right, because according to this argument, renting in Syria is a gzera on renting in Eretz Yisrael, which is itself a gzera on selling in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So the Gemara says no.
Renting in Eretz Yisrael, we said.
So the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says no. Hasam lav gzera. But the Gemara's point is it's not a gzera.
We're renting in Eretz Yisrael.
Because in Syria. Because ksavar kibush yochid shmei kibush. Because the Gemara is going according to the Mishnah is going according to the opinion that kibush yachid. What does kibush yachid mean?
The individual
conquest of an individual, correct, is considered kibush, and therefore, what are the implications of that?
That selling is.
Yeah. What are the direct implications of that? What does it mean? Kibush yachid shmei kibush. That the conquest is what?
The individual.
For what purpose?
Land of Israel.
It's giving away land of Israel. Or
no.
To grant something Kedushat Haaretz. To make it Kadosh like Israel, such that the rules that apply to Israel apply to it. That's the point.
That's Syria.
Correct. Or anywhere where Kibush Yachid was carried out. Right. Now, you're going to read this as Syria. But shocking, this became a very, very, very heated discussion in the modern period. Why?
When you say modern period, we're talking about like nowadays.
Hint: 1948 and on.
The West Bank.
Not just the West Bank. Not the West Bank. Because there are many parts of modern Israel that were not part of biblical Israel, like.
Like
Eilat, not the West Bank. The West Bank is the heart of Hare Yehuda. Right. Hare Yehuda.
It's
the heart of Hare Yehuda.
Right, but
halachically, it is the heart of Hare Yehuda.
All
right. Right? So, no. It's the other way around. Right? Right? I'm not saying things that are politically questionable. I'm saying things which are halachically questionable, which the state conquered, like Eilat, like. Possibly Ashdod, like Ashdod was Plishti.
Like if we had kept
right, most of the
land.
Stuff on the border, on the water, right? When we withdrew from Gaza, yes, most of on the border was originally Plishti, Plishti, Ekroni, different.
If Israel had kept that land.
The Golan was what?
If Israel had kept that those sides of the desert.
Well, or the question now, does Eilat have Kedushat Haaretz? Right? Was that Kibush Yachid? Or Kibush Rabim? Right? Or what was it? Right? Meaning, the question of how do you conquer something post, right, post Yoshua and then Ezra?
Right.
That's an important question in the modern period where we suddenly have conquest again. Now, a little bit of background. How many national conquests are there in halachic history? For halachic purposes, we care about two main conquests. What were they?
Yeshua, who was conquered most of
Yeshua, which is what we call Kibush Rishon, according to Rav Rishonim. And what's the second one? What's the second one? Ezra. Kibush Ezra.
But didn't he mostly conquer the Jordan side? Yeshua?
Who?
Yeshua.
But there were two Shvatim on the other side.
Huh?
There were Shvatim on the other side too.
Yes.
Okay. Both sides. Right. What the exact status is not entirely clear. It's a discussion. Bikurim. Now, according to the way the majority psak, kibush rishon batla. Right. Kedusha rishona batla. The first kedusha of Yoshua is no longer. But kedusha shniya kedusha l'shata v'kedusha l'atid lavo.
The kibush of Ezra
right, meaning it is holy forever. Meaning anything that was conquered under Ezra was holy. So when we talk about the borders where you are chayev in mitzvot atliyot baretz, we talk about the borders of Ezra. But in addition to that, the Gemara's question is what about kibush yachid? What about those parts of Israel that were neither part of the national conquest of Yoshua nor the national conquest of Ezra, but rather the conquest of
Israel now?
Of David. Right? That's the Gemara's question, is David. The modern question we'll get to, but first we've got to understand the Gemara. So the Gemara said, this is going according to the Shita, the Ksavar Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. And therefore, these fields are Eretz Yisrael. So, Sadeh Dit Beitarte Gazru Beirabanan. As we've already talked about, fields have double problems, namely Lo Techaneim and Hafkat, Truman Umasrot, and therefore we don't even let you rent it. Mm-hmm. But Batim, Diletbu, Tarte, Logazur Be Rabbanan, but houses only have a potential of Lotichareim, and therefore it's only Asr to sell them, but we don't add Xera to forbid renting them.
Because it's only for ownership.
Because there's only one problem of Lotichareim, and not also Hafkat, Trumot, Umasrot. Okay. So feels
never apply with Surya.
What?
So feels will never apply with Surya.
What?
As you just said now, you just made a differentiation of how with fields and houses. So in Surya also, there's how fields don't apply whether you're renting or
what do you
selling.
Mean don't apply?
You can't sell or rent fields.
Correct. What do you mean don't apply? I mean it does apply. I mean the prohibition applies.
Yes, the prohibition applies. I mean the act of selling or renting doesn't apply.
Meaning you're not... He's taking a very roundabout way to say you're not allowed to do it.
Okay, fine. Yes, you're not allowed to do it. Fine. So...
The rules of killing of people don't apply, meaning you're not allowed to kill people.
Good. Now, the Gemara here... does not... Now, the Gemara continues a little bit here. Now, the Gemara here doesn't outline that it is a machloket, but as is evidence in the parallel sugya, which did you look up at all?
Which one?
What? The Gemara... I gave you the Rashis, but the Gemara is in Gittin.
Yeah, I did.
Right? That there is a machloket about this, whether kibush yachid shmei kibush or kibush yachid lav shmei kibush. So, what I want to do is try to understand why would it be... Right? What... What is it? What is kibush yachid? What defines something as kibush yachid? And why is it that according, not according to the position outlined in our Gemara, but according to the other position, right? Why is it that such kibush is ineffective in creating kedushat haaretz? Okay? That's our goal.
Yes.
Okay, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. First, let's try to figure out the position of Rashi.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, first read Rashi here. Rashi here. Let's try to parse Rashi's shita. Where does Rashi discuss the definition of kibush yachid?
Rashi Dibur Maskel Shmei Kibush?
Nope. In Dibur Maskel Surya. On the Mishnah.
Israel?
When I just say Khan, I mean all Rashis that are relevant in our Sugya. That's why I don't give you a Dibur Maskel. I just say everything. Surya. Good, why don't you pick it up? Rashi, Surya.
Me?
Yes.
Cool. Oh boy. Aram, sorry.
Aram Tsova. Yeah. What is Aram Tsova?
Good question. I want to say soldier, but I don't...
What is Aram Tsova?
Matzah.
No. No, it's Tsova.
Syria. Aram Tsova is Syria.
Let's write that in. It's probably good to know.
What is the most famous codex in the world? The most famous, most accurate record of the Torah that we have.
Accurate record?
In English, it is called the Aleppo Codex.
Oh, I heard.
You just went to the Israel Museum. You went into the shrine of. You went in to the shrine of the book. Therefore, you physically saw the Aleppo Codex because it is there.
I didn't really look around.
Oh, wow. I didn't see.
I was not there, so I cannot be blamed for this.
So, a little bit of history. A little bit of history. Okay? After, right, there are... there was a period known as the Sofrim. People who emphasized the proper... pronunciation and spelling and things like that of the Torah, right? The most famous of them was, right? There were two, Ben Asher and Ben Naphtali. Ben Asher, being the most authoritative, wrote a codex. What is a codex? It's basically a tikkun, right? But it has notes on it that tell you when things are male, when things are chaser, right? Yuds, not yuds, vavs, not vavs, and things like that. Right, and the most authoritative that we had in the world was this one that is supposedly written by Ben Asher, which was kept in Aleppo. Mm-hmm. Sure. Called the Aleppo Codex. In Hebrew, it's called the Keter Aram Tzova, the crown of Aram Tzova. Right? Now, during the riots in Syria, it disappeared for a while, and we have recovered much of it, though not all of it. And it has been reprinted into... Have you ever seen the Keter Mikraot Gedolot?
I think so.
That's written from the text of Keter Aram Tzova. Right? Because the Sephardi communities of Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Morocco, etc., are very, very old communities, and therefore they had kept Misorot from a very long time, including Keter Aram, having the Keter Aram Tzova. Okay? So, Aram Syria, Aram Tzova, Aleppo. Okay? There's a fascinating book, if you want, what basically reads like a mystery, but is in fact a investigative... You know, it's investigative journalism. There's a book called The Aleppo Codex by Michael Friedman, I believe, right? Who's a journalist who wrote about the mystery of why it is that much of the Aleppo Codex has disappeared.
Disappeared?
No. Sometime between when it was meant to get from Syria to Israel, right? Parts of it disappeared. Okay, it is a whole fascinating history. So anyway, Syria, Aram Tzova, Usmucha le'eretz Yisrael.
It's similar to...
No. Smucha.
Some of this, close to.
Close to. It is next to, juxtaposed to.
Okay, okay.
Literally. Have you looked at a map?
Is this modern? Yes,
it is touching...
What?
Is Aramaic?
Samuch? It's Hebrew.
Is it Samucha? Samuch is like... finished. Well, in Kriyat Torah, you call Samuch up for before Shavuot.
No. Samuch.
That is the Kriya thing is the thing. I just don't know if that's a connection or something.
Samuch is connected, right? Is next to, right? So Samuch, it is next to Eretz Israel. Look at a map. You will see this is true. If you've never wondered,
I assume
all of you know the map basically enough to understand that Israel is bordered by Lebanon and Syria.
Jordan and Egypt.
Yes, but in our north, it would be Syria and Lebanon, right?
And Saudi Arabia.
Jordan is on our
west.
No,
on our east.
Saudi Arabia is on,
Jordan is on the east.
Right.
The west is the water.
That's what I meant.
The west is water.
I know. That's
there is no country to the west of Israel. That would be water.
I know.
Right?
And
the south is
Egypt.
Egypt.
Maybe that's Cyprus.
Yes, if you keep going through the water, there are things past the water, but it doesn't border us. It's
but
in the water.
By that logic, America is bordering Israel.
No. No, Cyprus like 20 minutes, like something from Israel. So still.
Fine, but it's in the water. It's
Cyprus
a border.
Is not an enemy.
Listen,
no, it's not a country.
You could, you might not survive it, but you could walk to Syria from Israel. You can't walk to Cyprus. I understand it's closed, but good luck, right? I mean, unless you are, you know, Jesus and can walk on water, right?
You know that Gemara?
What Gemara? It's in the New Testament.
No, but there's also there's a Gemara that says that.
Anyways.
That talks about that, really.
Don't bring up Christianity or else Donnie just starts preaching it like a,
I won't
like a Jehovah's Witness.
I won't preach it. I just know history.
It
what do you want from me?
Okay, anyways.
Come on. Fun reporting to this.
Syria, Aram Tzova, Smuchal Eretz Israel. Okay.
The Kibusha David.
Kibusha David.
And the conquest of David.
No. No.
And the conquer. And David conquered.
Thank you. It's a verb.
Yeah. Sorry. The Chivra le Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and a
the Chibra. What is Chibra? Connected it. Good. Le Chaber.
To Chaber is a friend.
Just like a Chaber is a friend. Correct. A Chibur is
le Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Well, Chaber is connected to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Shlo al pi hadavur
hadibur
that it will not be on the mouth.
Shlo al pi hadibur.
It will not be on the
not by God's command.
Yeah. Ubilo
Shishim Rebo.
Shishim Rebo. And not 60.
10,000s, which is.
60,000.
No, 60 ten thousands.
600,000.
600,000.
Right.
You know, Kiyotse Mitzrayim. That's our normal number. Shishim Rebo. Six, right? 60,000.
Okay.
That's biblical Hebrew. Shishim Rebo, right? 60 myriads.
Mm-hmm.
Myriads?
Vikarile, and they called it Kibush Yaakov, an individual conquest.
And we, correct. Okay, good. So Rashi tells us, what does Kibush Yachid mean? Now, remember, according to the Shita in our Gemara, Kibush Yachid works. But according to the majority position, Kibush Yachid does not work. So Rashi tells you several things. Why? What is lacking about Kibush Yachid? How many factors does Rashi list?
Well, it has to be next to Eretz Yisrael. No, it says it's next to Eretz Yisrael.
How many factors does Rashi list to explain in what sense Kibush Yachid is inferior to Kibush Rabim?
Oh,
how many factors? Dani. How many factors does Rashi list?
What, Kibush Yachid and the...
How many factors does Rashi list? What?
Three.
What are the three? That's not right, but try.
It has to be connected to the Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael.
No, he doesn't.
It's two. Sorry.
Two. What are they?
The Word of God, math, but and it has to be 600,000 people.
Correct. Right. You need 600,000. People, right? And you need
the word
Al Pi HaDibur. What does Al Pi HaDibur usually mean?
Hashem's word.
Yes, but how?
Torah, Derech, from the Torah. No?
Shelo Al Pi HaDibur usually means through Nevuah or Urim Betumim. Literally, that you ask God, right? You are instructed by God.
Torah,
No, Shelo Al Pi HaDibur. Right?
Right.
Okay. What's the problem with Rashi? Try to define Rashi. Which of these factors makes sense? Which of these factors does not make sense? Why do you need two factors? Let's try to understand Rashi. Which of these factors makes sense in Rashi?
600,000.
Why?
Because that's what they considered it's Rabin.
Good! Right? Because the Gemara outlines, right? The Gemara tells you that the phrase used to capture the inferiority of this type of conquest is the word yachid, right? Meaning individual as opposed to rabim, as opposed to the nation.
That's why.
And Rashi says, what does rabim mean?
That's where Shisha Rabim has to be more than 600,000 people.
So according to probably minority of Poskim, but sure, sure.
Yes.
But yes, that's where that comes from. Rashi does hold that way, that's true, right? Right, so that factor makes a lot of sense. Meaning Rashi is saying that what makes things holy
is one with God or with
Kibush Rabim. What makes things holy?
The word of God. 600,000.
Rabim. Right? If the difference between Rabim and Yachid is Rabim versus Yachid, so then Rashi says that it's 600,000 versus
one.
It's not at 600,000, right? Meaning, why 600,000? Why 600,000?
Because that's considered a nation.
Where do we get that number?
Adam, it's
yeah, you have same Mitzrayim. Yeah, yeah. right, you have same Mitzrayim.
What?
Right, 600,000 people, you have same Mitzrayim.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
So now, what do you make of Rashi's second condition?
That has to be a nevuah. I mean,
right, or Batumim, or whatever, right? What do you make of Rashi's second condition?
I mean, if God doesn't tell us...
I have two questions to ask you.
Okay.
What do you make of Rashi's second condition? Namely, Shelo Al Pi HaDibur. And second of all, how does it fit into the words Kibush Yachid, Kibush Rabim?
The second one, I'm not sure, but
But that's equally important. So let's try to figure it out.
When you ask God, you're conquered as a nation as one. That's why.
What?
When you ask God, you're conquered as a nation as if one person.
So Yosef suggests that maybe these are really saying the same thing, namely, what makes it somewhat a nation? Right? What makes this a national conquest?
If it's
two things, the nation does it. And the nation was sanctioned by God, because that is the right. That is our defining identity of the Jewish people, right? And therefore, Rashi may be saying two factors that are really this, right. There's two factors that you need to make something considered national, right? One way of reading is that it's two factors that aim at the same thing, which is
how is it Kiddush Yachid?
How is it not Kibbutz Yachid? Right? I mean, how do you make it not Kibbutz Yachid? One is that it should be done by the Rabbim, and the second is that, now, according to that understanding,
it should be done by the Jewish nation. But
then, according to that understanding, what would happen if 600,000 people would do it, Shalal Pi Dibor?
Then it wouldn't.
Then it would be intrinsically illegitimate, and therefore it would be the equivalent of not a national conquest, but a mass mistake. Right? Or not a mistake, but whatever. Yeah. It was a huge group of people doing something on their own accord, right? What gives them the coherence of a nation is
Pi Dibor. But we're obviously talking about the Jewish nation here, so why does that have to come as a factor? Like, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael and Jews. So
this is not Eretz Yisrael. This is not Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but I'm saying, well, where does Al Pi Dibor come into play? Like, the Jews were obviously Al Pi Dibor. So,
no, he just told you that David was not Al Pi Dibor.
He was sanctioned.
David was not sanctioned by God. He did not.
In the beginning.
Oh, that was the whole point. The Jewish nation, like, as a whole. Like,
no, we're talking about Syria. David conquered it of his own accord,
right,
without divine sanction, and therefore Rashi says,
divine sanction, like, he wasn't.
Didn't ask God if he has to be.
He didn't ask God.
Mm-hmm.
So, what does that have to do with the number of people? Like,
so I just said, Rashi has two factors,
right?
In this Rashi, namely Shalal Pi Dibur and Shishim Ribo. Shishim Ribo, I understand, right? That it's Yachid versus Rabim,
right?
Then I asked you two questions. I said, how do you understand Rashi's second position, the second factor, and how does it connect to Rabim Yachid? So Yosef answered in a way that answers both questions, which is, Rashi understands, right? One way of understanding Rashi is that he needs it to be national. And for Rashi, the only way that something is national is if A, it's done by the nation numerically speaking, and B,
meaning like by God, Israel's
goal. Yes. Okay. And B, that it's done with divine sanction, and therefore it fits the Jewish, you know, national vision, right? The national vision,
right?
Right. Now that answers both questions, right? That Rashi has two factors to define it as national. That alternatively, right, you could say that maybe Rashi really needs two separate factors. Right? It could be that there's the chiyuv of Rabim, and maybe there's a second thing that not only does that have to be Rabim,
it has to be with the word of God. That's good.
Right. And if it's not, then even if it's Rabim, I mean, what Yosef is claiming is that, according to Rashi, if something is done without divine sanction, it is automatically not Rabim, even if the majority of Klal Yisrael are involved. Right, the second possibility.
Kind of what Rashi said,
no, that's a very good read of Rashi, right? Because that means both of those are functions of the word Yachid versus Rabim.
Both. You can't have not
correct.
One or the
alternatively,
other.
You could argue that that's not true. Yeah. That Rashi requires two things.
Well,
one is Rabim plus. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're conceptually different. They could be just two factors that aim towards one conceptual point. Right? You could say these are two conceptual points. You need Rabim plus Heter.
Okay, so
right?
How's that different from what Yosef
saying? Yosef is arguing.
I'm saying you need double or nothing.
No, Yosef is saying, if I understand him correctly, and if I don't, I'm going to put these words in your mouth because it's a good svara, right? Is that Rashi is saying you need, Rabin means national. National has two factors, a numeric one, right? And a question of sanction, right? Of what makes this national, right? And Rashi argues there's two factors. One is that Klal Yisrael is doing it in terms of 600,000 people, in terms of sheer numbers.
Right.
And the second thing is that it fits our national agenda. Right? It fits our national vision, our national mission. Shalop, right? Meaning that it's Al Pi Dibur. According to that Svara, there are two factors necessary to define this as Rabim.
Oh, so one is trying to define Rabim and one is trying to define...
Oh, no. Both of these, according to Yosef's formulation, both are Rabim. Right? Both of them are defining national. National means two things. It fits our vision, meaning God's involved.
Right.
And B is that Klal Yisrael's involved.
Right, but this, then the first one would be that we're not trying to define Rabbim.
No, no, both of these are defining Rabbim. That Rabbim for Rashi means national. Mm-hmm. And national has two factors, a numeric component, right?
That's one way of reading Rashi.
Correct. The second way of reading Rashi is to say, no, Rashi thinks that in order to be Mekadesh Eretz Israel, you need two things, Rabbim plus Heter. Right, they're not related factors.
So Rabbim isn't defined by Heter. Rabbim.
Correct. That it's a shorthand. Right. Right. To
what
say that, it'd be a
shorthand.
Right. Meaning, it's not that both factors are part of Rabbim. Mm-hmm. Is that when we say kibush yachid eino shmei kibush, kibush Rabbim shmei kibush? We mean if something is one national and two mutter, right?
Okay.
Then.
So one's saying that Shishim
meaning
and
what?
And there, but meaning, maybe the Urim Betumim is not, or Al Piadibor is not about Rabbim.
Okay.
It's just that when we say Rabbim, we really mean two things:
okay.
National and with divine sanction. But they're not related.
Divine sanction.
God says so.
Ah, okay, okay.
Right, so right? In short, one way of reading it is that Shishim and Al Piadibor define Rabbim.
Correct.
And one is saying that it's in order to do it, you need Rabbim and with Shishim. And Dibor.
Exactly.
That Dibor is not defining Rabbim, it's only.
It's just a second factor that we just like wrap into it, right? Now, there's another question that you have to ask for Rashi, which is, what does he mean, Shalol Pia Dibor? There are two ways of understanding that phrase as well.
One was the plans of the nation.
How could you understand Shalol Pia Dibor?
The plans of the nation?
Dibor clearly means the word of God.
Right.
But what are the two ways you could understand, at least two ways you could understand Shalol Pia Dibor?
Like someone actually asking God?
Or I'll put it differently. Why do you need Nevuah / Urim Vetumim?
To conquer? Like, I'm confused.
What does it add to this cheshbon?
I mean, we said it depends how you look at it.
What does it add? Right? So there's two ways of looking at it. One is that there's a magic rule. You need the Urim Vetumim or Nevuah. Right? Meaning, that's what you need. The second way is to say, no. You need two things. You need Rabbim plus Heter. You need to be Mutter. Right? Lamai Nafkamina. You're going to be like, I'm splitting hairs.
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Right? Meaning, when Rashi says you actually need Alpia Dibur,
mm-hmm.
Right? One way is to say you actually need Alpia Dibur for whatever reason.
You need permission.
Correct. You need divine sanction. Explicit divine sanction. That's part of...
Right.
That's a fundamental part of Kibush Haaretz.
Yes.
The second way is to say, no, you don't actually need divine sanction. You know what you need? You need it to be Mutter.
What's
the Nafkamina?
It kind of sounds like the same.
No, what if something is Mutter or a Mitzvah without divine sanction? Without explicit divine sanction.
So one would be... So Al Pi Dibor is not... Mutter would not...
Give me... For example, what would that be?
One that's Mutter and not Al Pi.
How could something be a Mitzvah without divine sanction?
Halacha the Moshe Mishina. Oh, Mitzvah Derabana. I don't know.
So the Rambam has a category called Milchemet Yisrael, right? Lahatzil Otam Yatzar. What if it's a battle of self-defense? Right? What if you conquer land? This has never happened. What if you... And you'll understand why this is going to be practical in the modern Shailas. What, right? This is the question that modern posts can deal with, is, wait a second. Does Rashi literally mean you need Urim Vetumim or Nevuah? In which case, could any land conquered, right? To jump forward to understand why this is important.
In modern time,
nothing could ever be Kadosh. We could never add Kedusha to Eretz Israel. But if you think that he doesn't really mean Dibor Mamish... Right, we don't actually need divine sanction, like explicit divine sanction. We don't need Urim Vetumim or Nevuah. What do we need?
Then today...
We need it to be Mutter. So then, in Halacha, we have a distinction between what we call in English, offensive and defensive wars. And the Halacha is that if something is defensive, like we're attacked and we're fighting for our lives, that's called... Yes, it's called Lahatzil Yisrael Miyatzar, right? To save the Jews from their enemies.
But we said that Alpi Dibor is clearly the word of God. Like, I don't...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Is okay. In English, we call this, is that causation or correlations, or in Hebrew, siman or siba.
Right.
Right, meaning, is Alpi Dibor what we actually need, or is that a stand-in? Meaning, we need it to be Alpi Dibor, meaning, we need to know that this is a mitzvah, which could either be because God said so, or because Halacha tells us that it's a mitzvah. Like, it's self-defense, and that's a mitzvah.
Then how's that Alpit Dibor if the Halakha doesn't tell us? But
no, but Alpit... No.
That's what I don't get that. Like, Alpit Dibor, we said, is the word of God.
Yes, but does Rashi mean that Dafka or Lav Dafka? Meaning, does he mean literally that you cannot fight a war that would sanctify Israel without God saying so explicitly? Or is that a stand-in, which is, you can't sanctify any of Israel without a halachic justification, which can come in multiple ways. Either God says, go fight, or halacha tells us this is a time to engage in war. Right? Like defense, right? Defense. The nafkamina would be what happens if you find yourself in a defensive war and, whoa, I just conquered the Sinai and the Golan.
What if
right? Never happened.
What if
never happened.
What if you conquer somebody for defensive attack?
Or whatever. Whatever you are going to justify.
If you're going to attack through the Sinai, you conquer it first. That way it's.
Yes, we did this. This. Literally. This is not like a theoretical.
No,
we literally did this.
Right?
This is not like a theoretical. What would happen if the Jews, in a defensive war, conquered Sinai and the Golan?
Right. Yeah.
No, we actually, in a defensive war, conquered the Sinai and the Golan. Right? This actually happened. Right?
Right.
Ufda. Facts on the ground. We did this. Right? We then gave back the Sinai, and we did not give back the Golan. Right? Also, facts on the ground. Right? I have not yet put a value judgment on this. I'm just saying this happened. This is Israeli history for all of you history buffs.
So you mean you.
And Donnie, maybe. Because Donnie is obsessed with history, yeah.
But he doesn't.
Socialism.
Well, that's why he likes the Israeli history.
New world order.
All the years of socialism, you know, those first 30 years, you know, until like 82, you know, when Chaval was taken over by right wing capitalist crazy people. That's not me talking, that's me parroting, that's devil's advocate. I am a right-wing capitalist. Anyways, I am. No, there's no two ways about that.
Not in, like, derogatory.
No, I think that's...
Why do you think I am right-wing also?
Yes, you're a right-wing socialist.
Yes. New people from
right wing, liberal, and a socialist all at the same time.
Correct.
I'm a conservative.
What you call conservative is what we call conservative.
Very different than what you guys call.
Anyways.
No.
Okay. So all those are possibilities in Rashi, okay? Let's look at two more Rashis. Rashi in Gitin Daf Chet and Rashi in Gitin Daf Mem Zayin. And let's see if we can pin it down anymore. Probably not. Right? So, Rashi number one. Kibush Yachid. Dani, you love Gittin. Why don't you read it?
Yes?
Oi.
You love Masechet Gittin. It's your favorite Masechet in Shas.
It's not my favorite Masechet.
You said it was your favorite.
I said I liked it.
I remember we once had a bunch of friends and I went out once to dinner on Tikva's bill. They sent us out to a play and they sent us to La Marais with dates. So we went. So our professor decided as a good icebreaker. I don't know why we need an icebreaker because we all knew each other. What is your favorite tractate? Our Catholic professor wanted to know it. And we had this very bizarre moment where my chavrusa and I got into a machloket about what my favorite mezechta was. Right? I claimed it was X, and he said, no, you're wrong. I'm like, about my favorite mezechta? He's like, yes, that's not your favorite mezechta. Yes.
Who was right?
Who is right? Me about my favorite mezechta?
Or chavrusa?
Or my chavrusa about my favorite mezechta? That's a very hard question.
I think your chavrusa was right.
Okay. He's right, it was a close call. Right? Anyways. Fun times. The Machlokas was over Sanhedrin or Hurrios. Oh, anyways.
Which one did you say?
Hurrios your favorite?
Sanhedrin.
So now, you know, Yej loved it and go back and forth. You know.
But then was Hurrios favorite?
Probably, but I think he claimed to Sanhedrin. Good, go the way. I like jurisprudence. So, like, Sanhedrin and Hurrios more than any other Masechta, right, are about jurisprudence.
Cool.
Okay. Nice try running away to get a tissue. Okay, good.
We can go on a tangent long enough and come back.
Good.
I knew.
Go. Rashi. Two. And you get both Rashis because they're both from Gittin. Ashrecha.
Number two?
One and two.
Okay. Kivish Yochid, so the conquest of individuals.
Good.
Dovid Shiloh Yie Kol Yisrael, so he didn't get the whole, you know.
Biachad.
They weren't together, in other words.
They weren't all together, right?
Yeah. biyachad kederech in the way shehu
shehayu bekibush
Yeshua. Yeshua. So the conquest of Yeshua.
Right, and he's saying David didn't have a national conquest the way Yeshua did.
Yeah.
Shayu
kulam, everybody. Kivyoshu, the conquest, the tzirich, they need Kol Yisrael, the whole.
No. It's so rech Kol Yisrael. Now Rashi adds something. He says, wait a second. In Avodah Zarah, if I had asked you, what is Rabim? When Rashi says 600,000, there's two ways of understanding 600,000. What is that?
All the like the entire
600,000. What? Soldiers. Or 600,000 Jews that the army is fighting on their behalf. Right? In Avodah Zarah, it's ambiguous. But in Gittin, it is clear. What is it?
Tired nation.
Litzorech Kol Yisrael.
People.
Now that also opens the possibility that maybe Rashi doesn't literally mean 600,000 people either. What does he need?
The entire...
That it be Litzorech, Kol Yisrael, and 600,000 is a stand-in.
What do you mean?
600,000
are all the Jewish people.
What if, Rachmano Litzlan, Lo Aleinu, Chas V'Shalom, right, there was a time in history where there were only 500,000 Jews. Lo Aleinu.
According to this...
If you thought his mom is 600,000, you could never be Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
If you thought that 600,000 is a stand-in for saying Litzorech, Kol Yisrael, so then...
Well, at that time, 600,000 was the man between 20 and 30.
Correct, right, and L'chumra. Right, you could say that 600,000, right? Does he mean literally 600,000? And therefore, if it's 600,000 out of 100 million Jews, right? Well, you know, Yavo Yom, that would work too. Or does he mean 600,000, i.e., Litzorech Kol Yisrael?
So does not actually mean 600,000.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you understand the complexity in Rashi is that literally every phrase that Rashi says, 600,000, can mean literally 600,000 or Kol Yisrael, and it can mean either 600,000 soldiers or 600,000 people that they're fighting for, right? And when we say Al Pi HaDibur, that can either mean as a function of Rabim, as a function of you need Dibur, or, and even Al Pi HaDibur could be literally Al Pi HaDibur, or because you need Heter. Right? Those are different possibilities. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay, so he says... Kodem, first of all, Chelek...
Kodem Chalukah.
Kodem Chalukah. So,
Before
the Chalukah. Wait.
Before the division of the land.
What?
Right?
What did you add?
No, I thought... Okay, never mind. Aval David...
Right, before the division of the land in Eretz Israel.
Yeah, before the division.
Aval David lo kavash, elo...
Yeah, Aval David lo kavash, elo litzorich. So he thought that he didn't...
Litzorko.
Litzorko. So he thought that he shouldn't need, you know, the support of the people.
Right, it's only... It was only for himself, his own needs.
So it wasn't for the nation, it was...
Right, so now Rashi introduces a third factor, right, which is not how many people are involved, but for whom is it being done? And again, is that what he meant in Avodah Zarah?
That's the 600,000 soldiers or the...
Correct, and now you have to ask, okay, are they arguing? Right, is the Gemara in is Rashi and Avodah Zarah arguing? Right,
no.
Meaning there are three possible factors. Dibur, Rabim, and Litzorech Yisrael. Or is the Tzorech Yisrael explaining to you what we meant when we said Shishim Ribo, when we said Rabim?
I believe it's that one.
Right? So you understand how many possibilities we already have just reading Rashi. Right?
So
second Rashi.
The conquest individuals, David, Kovish,
Kivsha,
and I say also conquest?
Conquered.
Yeah, conquered. Velo hiyo kol Yisrael, so he didn't get the support of the Jewish people.
No, velo hiyo kol Yisrael sham.
Not
all of Israel was there. Yeah. Right? So now that means that's a little bit ambiguous. Right? Again, this is ambiguous because they weren't all there. What does that mean? They weren't all fighting or they weren't all... It wasn't on their behalf?
No, it wasn't on their behalf.
Well, it doesn't say. In this Rashi, it doesn't say.
But that's how he's... No, good.
We don't know because in this Rashi, it doesn't say. Right, as I'm saying, there are different Rashis, and he says, "V'hi Aram Tzova." So,
what's Tzova?
Aram Tzova is Syria, Aleppo. Okay, so what we're going to have to do, Behem Sheikh, is we're going to try to parse all these positions in Rashi. Right? We have. So, what questions do we have in Rashi? Right. So first of all, we want to understand, does he literally mean Shishim Ribo, or is that just a stand-in for Kol Yisrael? Question two is, when you say you need 600,000 class called Israel, does that mean number of people involved in the fight or the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which leads to the next question is the Rashi and Gittin that adds Litzorach Israel adding a factor? Meaning you could theoretically have two different models. You could say that if you had all of Kal Yisrael fighting a private war of David, then that could be called that could be Kibush Rabim, or that could be Kibush Yachid, right? Depending on whether you think Litzarko is a new factor.
If it's entire B'nai Yisrael,
they're both requirements of the same.
It depends.
The Chomer of all.
Maybe, but if you think that Litzorech is a third factor, namely, then if David manages to muster the all of Kal Yisrael to fight his private war, right, that might be called Yachid.
But if he convinces the entire B'nai Israel that this is the right thing...
That is the right thing. That they have to fight because he's king.
Oh, okay, fine. So it's not personally for the thing of B'nai Israel.
Correct, right? I want all of Klal Yisrael to fight so that I have a good private garden. Right? Right? A good Syrian garden.
It's a big garden.
Right? Right? And then you got to figure out, when he says Al Pi HaDibur, is that just another way of making it representative of Klal Yisrael? Right? Yosef's. Is it a new factor entirely? And even if it's a new factor entirely, does it literally mean you need explicit divine sanction?
From every person?
Right? Right? Every time you want to conquer Israel, you need God to say so.
Right?
Or is that just a way of saying you need it to be beheter? Right? Or b'mitzvah? And therefore, theoretically, you could come up with a way.
It sounds like b'mitzvah sounds like litzarko. Like you need...
Well, that could be another play on Litzarko, right? It's not Litzarko, it's Litzarch Yisrael, meaning Litzarch Mitzvah, right? You could read those and align them. Well,
those in a circle.
And therefore, you understand why, in the not surprisingly, in the Rishonim and the Achronim, Rashi Shita is very complicated, because Rashi brings up different factors, and it's not 100% clear in any given factor what exactly Rashi wants from you, right? So tomorrow we're going to continue. With this, we're going to try to pin down Rashi. We're going to do a lot of outlining theoretical positions. It's like, I can't say I can prove what Rashi holds, but we're going to outline different possibilities and see different shita that are clearer in terms of the exact position that they take. Okay.